This may stretch one more week, depending on how much ground we cover today. But we are starting a new series within the next week or two. And here is a little promo. I feel like we're at the movies. Here's a little trailer for that new series coming up. Check this out. All right, so that's a little teaser. It doesn't really tell you a whole lot, but over the month of July, starting in the beginning, middle of June, we're going to dive into God's Word and see what it says about the family, the importance of family, the importance of not only our biological family, but our extended family, how we pour into the lives of one another as the family of God. And, you know, there's all kinds of things, plays on words that we could go with Modern Family. How many of you watch that show, Modern Family? And it's got some good lines in there from time to time. So, but we're going to be diving into God's Word and seeing what the modern family really is to be all about. And so we invite you to come back for that series. Again, we'll probably be starting it next week, depending on how long I talk today and how much stuff we get through. But if not, we're definitely kicking it off on Father's Day. Also want to invite you back. In 2 weeks is Father's Day, in case you didn't remember, and start preparing now to do something special for dads. So you got your two-week warning. Start thinking about that. All right, I should have said that while the kids were in here. Oh well. Okay, let me go ahead and invite you to pull out this packet. We've been diving into this packet over the last several weeks. Some of you have not been with us, so that's why we've put it all in writing in case you miss one week or another. You can take this home. This is your packet to keep. This covers a few key things that we want you to know about at Hope Hill Church, and we're going to go through, hopefully finish this packet today. But let me go ahead and just open us up in prayer and ask God to just be with us over these next moments. Let's pray. God, thank you for who you are again and letting us be a part of what you're doing here in the establishment of a new church. And we pray, God, that as we lay down the foundation for the family and the house that is being built, God, we pray that you help us to set these first stones in the right place. God, knowing that you, Jesus Christ, are the chief cornerstone on everything that we build. And God, we pray that you would help us from this step forward to all be on the same page, to be able to have good, healthy dialogue with one another about difficult issues, but God, to come to a place of understanding of what it really means to be a Christian, what it really means to be the church, and to be the family of God living together. God, we pray that you be with us over the next few moments as we spend time looking into some of the teachings that you want us to believe in. In your name we pray. Amen. I can already feel it coming on. Can somebody grab me? Thank you, Brad. Dude, you're amazing. What am I going to do when you... The Jacobs are leaving us. You guys know that? Very sad. Next Sunday is their last Sunday with us. If you don't know the Jacobs, Nicole has been leading our youth band. She normally plays the keyboard up there and sings. Brad is normally up there playing the bass guitar. And that's just on the surface. There's so much they do behind the scenes. We're deeply going to miss them. Their children are a huge part of what we do. And let's just thank them right now for what they've done for us. Yeah. Thank you. That was a great timing there, Brad. Thank you for the water. There is another family that's also getting ready to leave us. If you don't know, the Gromlitches. They've been with us this whole school year as well. The reason they've not been with us lately is Rick just became an admiral, and his new station, or whatever you call it, is Virginia Beach, so they're going to be leaving us in about a week as well. Hopefully they'll be here with us so we could say goodbye soon. So, all right, so let's get into this. About a month ago, we started this series called Get Plugged In. All of the information that we went over, again, is in writing for you to look at. The first page we looked at on the very first day, it covered what we call our core values. Just to summarize them, we believe that in everything we do, the most important thing we are to do is to bring glory to God. The verse that was read earlier by Jordan said that, "Let your light be seen so that all men will see your good deeds and glorify our Father in heaven." Another one of my favorite verses that was taught to me when I told my mom I didn't think I had to brush my teeth as a child. She said, "Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." And so whether you eat or drink or no matter what we do, the Bible tells us that we should do everything to our best and do it for His glory. And so our first number one priority as a church is to bring glory to God. The second one is we want to be about transforming lives. Jesus did not just love us and leave us here where we were. He came down to us to meet us and to bring His life-transforming truth, way of life, and love into our lives to see us become changed people, made into the people that He created us to be. And so we want to be a church that continues to pour out the gospel in both word, but equally as importantly, in deed as well. And so that's why occasionally you might come to this school and see that we're not here and wonder, did Hope Hill Church already close its doors? No, Hope Hill Church is just taking seriously that we want to be in the community from time to time. And so sometimes, with warning, we'll let you know in advance when these days come. We will plan to not be here. About a month ago, about a month ago, we didn't meet here. We met over at Mary Williams Elementary. We had filled up a gym this size, full of coats, clothing, household items, shoes, toys, bikes, all kinds of stuff, so that those in need who live in our community, we are surrounded with poverty around us. We live in this little Ashland community, some of us, and around us, sometimes we can be blind to those who are without. And so we set up in Mary Williams Elementary and invited those in need to come and to get whatever they needed free of charge. And a lot of that was made possible because of you. A lot of you showed up that day to serve, and that's what we want to be about. We don't want to be just about sitting in a few rows of chairs 1 hour a week. We want to be making a difference 7 days a week and coming in here 1 hour a week to celebrate what God is doing through us. And so we want to be about transforming lives and in the end making an impact in our world. God has set us here to live right in this place, and we want to be an influence to all those we work with, go to school with, live next to, but ultimately we want to see that multiply so that the whole world comes to see and know the love of God. And so if you're interested in being a part of those core key principles, we invite you to get on board and to join our church family. Then, if you turn the page, the next three pages are some of our core foundational beliefs. Last week, we went over about half of them. This week, we'll cover the second half. And just to summarize last week, we basically looked at these key things. We believe there's a God that always has been, always will be, always is. A God who is all-knowing, all-powerful, and always present. And that God desires a relationship with each and every one of us. He's not far and distant and removed and not caring about us, but He loves and knows each and every detail in our lives and is constantly pursuing us, wanting a relationship with us. We believe in that God. That God exists in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father was overall. The Son was sent to this earth to show His love for us, to die for our sins, to make it possible for us to be brought back into relationship with the Father. And the Holy Spirit now indwells the hearts of all those who believe in Jesus Christ. And so if you're sitting here today and you have called yourself a Christian, the real key evidence of that is the Holy Spirit in your life. Are you living by the Spirit? Are the fruits of the Spirit evident in your life? And some of that you're like, what are you talking about? Are you living a life that exhibits joy, patience, self-control, love, kindness, goodness, gentleness? And I know a lot of us, especially on rush hour, those fruits are hard to be seen, aren't they? A lot of times when we're dealing with the pressures of life, we're like, forget love, forget patience. You know, how do I cut in front of this guy? And a lot of times the last thing on our mind is the fruits of the Spirit. But the truth is that God continually calls us to sharpen one another, to encourage one another, to live a life of love, even when it's hard. And so we believe in those things. We also believe in God's Word, that God's Word has been passed down to us for thousands of years, that this wasn't just a book written by man, but was inspired by God from cover to cover. This book was written by over 40 different people who lived over the lifespan of 1,500 years, many of which did not know each other, but all communicate the same story about a loving God who pursues us, wants to know us, and provides a way for us to be forgiven and brought back into relationship with Him. And so we believe in that Word of God. And then we believe that God created you and I to know Him, to love Him, to be made like Him. We talked about that last week, that the only way that we can be all that God created us to be is to believe in His Son, to get to know His Son, to invite the Holy Spirit to come into our lives, to shape us into the life of His Son. And what's really great about this packet is you can take it home and you can look a little deeper at each of these things we just talked about, because there are Bible verses at the end of each paragraph that will take you back to the Word of God and say, where did they get that from? And you can look it up in here. And then if you're like, man, I'm still a little confused, call me up, email me. Let's talk about some of the things we believe, and maybe why you need to understand why we landed the way we are, and maybe why our belief may be different from your background. But we believe that these scriptural truths in this packet are scriptural truths for all Christians, regardless of your denomination, whether you have an Episcopal background, an Anglican background, a Catholic background, a Methodist, Lutheran, Baptist, Pentecostal. I could go on and on. No matter what your background is, we believe that these scriptural truths are the foundations for all Christians. And so we want you to know that if you want to be a part of the family of God here at Hope Hill Church, then we ask you to consider these beliefs. And if you want to understand them more, let's talk. That's what I'm here for. All right, so today that leads us to the second part. We kind of focused on God, we focused on His Word, and we focused on why we're here. Today we're going to focus on us as a community, the church. All right, so we're going to start with sanctification. Can you guys hear me? Does that buzz coming through your ears? Is it not too bad? All right, let me take a drink and then we'll get into this. How many of you are new today? Yeah, there I go, embarrassing everyone who's new. All right, my teaching is not always the style. These are just some key foundational principles that are very academic in nature that we feel are extremely important that we want to lay out. A lot of times my teaching is a lot more with personal stories and things like that. So come back another week. Don't write me off just because, wow, that guy is boring. I mean, not that I won't be boring next week, but all right, let's go. Sanctification. A lot of times there are big words in religion and or in the Bible that we don't understand. This word sanctification is a very important principle. We believe that it is at the heart of who God is making us to be. To be sanctified means to be set apart for a purpose. Each and every one of us who are born in this earth with sin in our lives. Nobody has to teach you how to cuss somebody out. Nobody has to teach you how to punch somebody in the face. Nobody has to teach you how to be greedy. Nobody has to teach you how to get angry. Those things just come naturally to us. We're born with sin in our lives. But the Bible tells us that each of us were born set apart, or with God desiring us to be set apart for a purpose. And so the Bible says that each and every one of us are born apart from Him, but God made it possible by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. He looked at His people that He created, and from the very beginning, you know, the story of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were there in this garden. God had set them there to be fruitful, to multiply, to fill the earth, and to be in relationship and to bring glory to Him. But they were tempted. The Bible tells us that Lucifer, the devil, embodied the body of a serpent and tempted the woman Eve. And the man was right there with her the whole time, though. Adam and Eve were standing there. And God said, you can eat of any tree in the garden except for this one. If you eat of that one, death will come. And so Lucifer, that serpent, was in the tree, and He spoke to him, and He said, did God tell you that you'd really die? It's not true. The truth is that He doesn't want you to become like Him. If you eat this fruit, you will become just like Him, and you will know good from evil. And He used His deceptive words to lure them in. Isn't this piece of fruit beautiful? And just like a lot of us are lured in through our eyes and what we see and the promise of something that even though it may not be truth, they were lured in and they ate that apple. Or well, actually, we don't know what kind of fruit it was, but they ate that fruit and they experienced death. Not physical death like you and I think of today, but they experienced an immediate spiritual death. At that point, the relationship that they had with God was severed. And from that point forward, there was a problem between God and man. We could never live to attain righteousness the way that God wanted us to live it. And so Jesus was sent to this earth, the part of God, God the Son, was sent to this earth to show us what it was like to live a life for God and ultimately to pay for our sin and to make it possible for us to be restored. The Bible says that for the forgiveness of sins, there must be the shedding of blood. And Jesus Christ shed his blood for us. And we celebrate his victory over death whenever we celebrate Easter. And so Jesus came and he set us apart. He said, if you come to believe in me, you will be set apart for a purpose. And we believe that each and every person in this room is set apart to accomplish part of the plan of God. Each and every one of you has been put on this earth for a reason. We believe that God, just as it says in Jeremiah chapter 29, Jeremiah 29, 11 is a popular verse many of us know. I have plans for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. But a lot of us don't look back at verse 7 and before that, where it talks about how the Israelites were taken as slaves into captivity. And God told them, I want you to live in the land where you've been sent, and I want you to live for me. And I want, as you live for me and pray for the city where you're at, the city will be blessed and you will also be blessed. And so we believe that God in the same way has put us in our cities and our neighborhoods to pray for our city, to pray for our neighborhoods, to bless them, and in turn we will be blessed. We are set apart for a purpose, to bring glory to God and to make a difference in the world around us. So each and every one of you have a purpose, and that is to live for God, to make a difference in the lives of those around you. Yeah, the world's a big place, and but together we can accomplish what God has set us up to do. The next thing we believe in is we believe in a thing called the church. Now, I talked about this a few moments ago earlier in the service. The church is not a building. A lot of times we drive up and down the street and we see these great cathedrals, we see these huge steeples, we see these pretty stained glass windows, and we think, wow, that's a beautiful church. But the truth is those are all just buildings. And in one day, they could be burned down to the ground and the building would be gone. But the church would still grow. The church would still exist. The church is you and I as people called to follow God. And I believe that God is building a church here without a building. Yeah, we for convenience, we meet inside this place so that we can all gather, we can set up sound and hear one another. But all this could go away, and we would still be the church. For the first 9 months that we were together as Hope Hill Church, we went through a study together called Vintage Church. And we'll bring back highlights of it later in the summer, where we looked at what is the church really all about? What are we to be? Well, first of all, Jesus was the first missionary ever. He left heaven, a perfect place, and he came down to reach us. And as he drew friends closest to him, he didn't go after the religious elite. Actually, he exposed a lot of the religious practices of those who were focused more on religiosity. Is that a word? It is now. Focused on that kind of stuff and not on living for God. And he found these fishermen, these tax collectors. And he actually chose the lowest of the low to announce his coming. Shepherds, who were often looked at as like outcasts. You know, those are the guys who sleep out in the fields with sheep. And God chose the unchosen to show his will. And so God even now chooses us to come together to declare his name, to declare his glory, to come together and to become the church. What is the church? The church is a group of people who believe in him, who are being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, who are being used by God as his hands and feet to make a difference in this earth. Now, that's a big paraphrase of a lot. But I encourage you to go back to the Word of God itself and to look up these verses if you want to understand more. But we want to be that church. We want to be a church in this community that, again, isn't just sitting here for an hour a week hearing some lecture and singing some songs and then going on about our business. We want to be the church 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We want to be making a difference in the lives of all those around us. And so we encourage you to get plugged in and to discover how you can be a part of the church. Ordinances of the church. What's an ordinance? So what makes the church different from other organizations? There are a lot of organizations out there that are about making a difference in the world. How many of you have ever been involved in like the Peace Corps or Key Club back in high school or some kind of good deed doing organization, the Scouts or I don't know what else, Habitat for Humanity or, you know, there's all kinds of organizations out there that are great organizations that are all about doing good. But the one thing that is different about the church and all these other organizations is that we have Christ as our head. It is he that we follow as our example. And in knowing that we are following Christ, there are two ordinances that we practice on a regular basis. First of all, I think the first one there is baptism. What is baptism? Baptism is something that looks different depending on what kind of church you're in. How many of you were baptized as an infant? Okay, about a third of you. Okay, I was baptized as an infant as well. A lot of our churches that practice infant baptism hold one or two views of infant baptism. One view is that when a child is baptized, they are sealed with the Holy Spirit and promised a place in the family of God from that point forward. In the early days of the Catholic Church, during a lot of the plagues and a lot of times when people were dying quick, they quickly came up with an idea of how can we promise people that one day they'll see their children in heaven? Well, let's baptize them all real quick. That way we can say they're sealed and they'll be there one day. I do believe that the Bible teaches. There's only one story in the Bible that teaches about a man named David who had a baby who died. And David is praying and he says that one day I know that I will see my child again. And that's the only place in the Bible that we really talk or hear about what happens to babies when they die. Do they go to heaven or do they go to hell? And I do believe that, although I can't find one. That's all right. You want to go get it? It's all right. We're easygoing here. Take the call if it's important. We don't mind. Just hold the mic up to it so we can all hear it. No, I'm just joking. All right. So baptism is something that's important. Here's what it is. It basically identifies the individual who is being baptized with a particular group of people. So for the Jews, the Jewish people, back in the days when a guy named John the Baptist was baptizing, he was set apart for God and was calling people to get baptized to prepare themselves for the coming of the Messiah. This guy named Jesus Christ would one day come. John the Baptist was 6 months younger than Jesus and the cousin of Jesus, but John the Baptist did not know that Jesus was Jesus. Does that make sense? He did not know that my cousin is the Son of God. Now, I'm sure there had to be something weird because, you know, when they probably played out or went fishing, Jesus may have walked on water a time or two and what's going on there? Who knows what may have happened growing up? But for some reason, there was one day when John the Baptist was in front of a huge crowd that was standing on the shore. Many of them had heard of baptism and actually been baptized for many different ways. There were rabbis, there were teachers, there were people who would say, I want you and you and you to come and be my followers, and I'm going to baptize you so you would be identified with me as your leader. You were baptized in my name, okay? And then other people were baptized to be a part of different groups. And so baptism wasn't really something that was weird or different from most of the Jewish culture. But John was doing something different. He was standing up in front of all the crowd, and he was saying to them, if you want to be ready to prepare yourselves for the coming of the Son of God, he's coming. For 400 years, the Israelites, the Jewish people, had heard that there might be one day a Messiah coming. For 400 years, that story had been passed down to their children, to their children's children, and on and on and on. And here, this guy, John the Baptist, some people looked at him and said, is he a prophet? Is he Elijah? Is he somehow even possibly the Messiah? Is he the one we've been waiting for? And John said, it is not me who is your Messiah, but he is coming. Come and be baptized so that you're going to be prepared. And so the baptism was a symbol of, in a sense, a washing away of what was old and a restart, a renewal. And then when Jesus finally came and he was standing in that crowd, it somehow was revealed to John the Baptist that his own cousin standing there in the midst was the divine one, was the Christ, the Messiah, the one to come to save the world from their sins. And Jesus stepped into the waters and walked up to John and said, baptize me. And John was like, dude, there's no way. I'm not even worthy. You're the Son of God. I can't even tie your sandals. I'm unworthy. And Jesus said, baptize me. And so John baptized him. And the Bible says that a voice came from heaven. God himself spoke, God the Father, and said, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased.
And the Bible tells us the Holy Spirit took on the form of a dove and came out of heaven and rested on Jesus. And at that point, Jesus was about 30 years old, and he started his ministry year. The next 3 years of his life, he would be basically telling the truth of who he was and how we could come to know the Father. And anybody who would then follow him were baptized in his name. And so what we practice here as a church is we basically say to you, if you want to be a follower of Christ, just as they did in the old days, if you want to personally make a decision for yourself that you believe in Jesus Christ, that you believe that he is your Messiah, your Lord, then we invite you to let the public know by being baptized. How many of you have been here for one of our baptisms when we've set up that? You guys know that's a horse trough that we use? Hey, you get what you get, okay? So we set up this. We try to make it look pretty. We cover it with some black sheets and stuff. But how many were here last August when we met at the lake? We had about 15 people that baptized at the lake. We're going to be doing that again in July. So if you have not been baptized and you've been sitting here saying, you know what, I want to let this community know that I do believe in Jesus. I do want to be a part of this community. I do want to live for him. I want the world to know that I believe in God. Then baptism is the way you do that. And so I invite you to start thinking about it now. If you've never been baptized as an adult where you personally were making that decision, yes, as an infant I was baptized, but I didn't know what was going on. For all I knew, I was getting another bath, right? When I became an adult, I decided, you know what? I am grateful that my parents dedicated me to God, but I personally want to make my own decision that, yes, I believe in the promise that they prayed over me, and I personally want to decide to choose to follow God as an adult. And I invite you, if you've never done that, talk to me. Talk to one of our key leaders. Let us know, and we'll talk about what baptism is, and we would love to invite you to become a baptized follower of Jesus Christ. The second thing that we do as a church regularly is communion. Communion is, some people call it the Lord's Supper. It's basically right over here on these tables. And in our early days, as of right now, these are our early days, we do this each week. And who knows? We may do it each week from here on out. The Bible doesn't tell us how often we're supposed to do it. The Bible just says, when you do this, do it in remembrance of who Jesus is. And so we have cups of juice. Some churches use wine. We don't have a reason why we don't use wine. Juice is cheaper. But the Bible, clearly Jesus and the disciples had wine with their meals, and so it was very customary for him to have a cup of wine. And as the wine was sitting on the table before him, he took the cup. And many times they would celebrate this celebration called Passover. For years, the Jewish people remembered a day when God promised to set the slaves free from the land of Egypt. And God said, you know, the Pharaoh is not letting you go yet, so the angel of death is going to pass over. And I want you to take the blood of a lamb and I want you to put it on your doorposts so that I know you are a follower of mine. Now, I know God was smarter and knew the hearts of all the people, but there was something symbolic about the blood being shed. And so as the angel passed over the houses of believers, he passed over and they were spared. And so from that day forward, they celebrated the remembering of Jesus' forgiveness of them and God passing over and not holding their sins against them. And they would drink a cup of blood, and of wine as a symbol of blood. And now this church is getting really weird, drinking blood. And so each week we want to remember something even more important. Jesus said as he sat at the table with his disciples, the bread was on the table, the cups of juice were on the table. And Jesus said, as you take the cup today, I want you to do it different. Today I want you to think of this as my blood that is about to be shed for you to forgive you of all your sins. And they weren't sure really what was going on because he wasn't dead yet. And they actually were pretty much devoted to not letting Jesus die. And so when he spoke of this, they weren't sure what he was talking about. But he said one day, and it was soon, it was actually the next day that he was arrested. And Jesus said, when you drink this cup, remember my blood that was shed for you. And then he took a piece of bread And he said, when you take this bread, instead of remembering a lamb's body that was broken for you, I want you to remember my body, because my body will one day soon be broken for you. And when you eat this, remember me until I come again. And so as a church, on a regular basis, as an act of worship, as an act of thanksgiving, we participate in communion together. There's a couple things that are sometimes we do not point out. There's a couple things that I want you to hear from me right now, and we'll point out from time to time. When taking communion, we don't want to look at this as a meal. You know, the Bible actually says that some people were coming to church just to have a meal and get their stomach filled. And for some of them, that was the only food they were to get. You know, some of them were living in such poverty and such times where the only reason they were coming to church was, man, we want some food. And so they weren't eating and drinking the body and the bread of Christ for the right reasons. And so Paul gives us instruction. He says, when you go to communion, when you are about to receive the elements, take a moment to think about yourself, to think about where you are with Christ, to think about what he did for you, and as an act of thanksgiving and remembering, then participate. And then he also said this, if you're sitting in the room, Sarah, if you're sitting in the room and you've got something wrong with your brother or sister in the room, then get it right with them before you go. So go make up with Megan before you take communion today. And a lot of times we don't think of the importance of that. You know, Jesus even one day said, you know, no offering, that if you were to bring an offering into the temple back then and to lay it at the ground, but in your heart have hate towards your brother, Jesus says it's better for you to not bring your offering, but to go and make things right with your brother first. That is the better of the two. And so at communion time, it's a great time for us to pray. You know, God, there is something in my heart that's not right. And so today, there was a couple times in church growing up that my dad didn't go take communion. And as a young child, I was like, I want juice. You know, why are you not going? And so on the way home, he was shared with me that he had gotten a fight with the guy at work, and he was, you know, wanted to seek forgiveness first before he took communion. And that just, I had never heard that before. And so I encourage you that when we come to times of taking communion, that you get your heart right with God first and not just go through the motions. Oh, it's time to eat some bread and drink a drink. And, you know, let's make it real. Let's remember, you know, Christ died on the cross to give us forgiveness and so that we would also forgive one another. So when we come to a time of communion, as we take the body of Christ, remember what he did for us. As we take the cup, remember how his blood was shed for us. And if you need to skip a week for whatever reason, and now you're like, wow, should I be skipping a week? Did I do something wrong? I'm not here to lay a guilt trip on anyone, but just let God's Holy Spirit lead you. If today you're in good standing with God and you're like, yeah, God, thank you so much for what you did for me, and thank you for the way that I'm able to live this out in the lives of those around me, then yes, come and participate. But if instead you want to get something right, that's why we have prayer teams. That's why I stand in the front during communion. You know, I encourage you, if you and your husband or wife are having a struggle during communion, go to someone. I'm not saying you have to spill your guts and reveal every secret you've ever had, but go to those. You know, there are those of us here who simply want to pray for you and help you get closer to God. And so come to us and say, you know, we are having a struggle, or I've had aught with my brother. You know, there's something I need to get right. Will you just pray with me about this? And we'll do that. And then once you feel like you've got things right, you know, go ahead. Come forward and take communion and remember what Christ did. Does that make sense? Yeah, for most of us? Okay. All right, good. So those are the ordinances that we believe in as that are important for the church. Baptism and communion. Baptism, again, says, lets the community know, I do believe in God. It was so great last summer when Curtis and his children all got baptized together. And then a few weeks ago, the Lons family, on Easter, actually, all were baptized as a family. And we see tons of pictures of that. The Roman jailer, decided, I want to become a believer. And his whole household became believers, and they were all baptized together. It's a great thing to celebrate as a church family. So talk to me if you want to be baptized. And as you go through communion, as often as we do it, Let's do it the right way. There may be some weeks that we don't have it out because of time or whatever. You know, the Bible doesn't say if for some reason you don't take communion today, something's wrong with you. The Bible just says as often as you do it in remembrance of me. All right. I'm going to wrap things up with just this last one. The eternity and the consummation. Somewhere forever. What does that mean? How many of you are around? Hopefully all of you. I don't think there's anybody born since May 21st. Was it May 21st that somebody said the world was going to end? Yeah. At 6 o'clock, that's right. Yes, everywhere around the world. The truth is, one day, this world will end. But another truth is no one knows the time or day. The Bible says that clear. And the Bible also tells us a lot of things about it that make us have no real idea of what it's going to look like or when it's going to happen. But the truth is that Jesus himself, when he was with his disciples, if you look at the book of Acts chapter 1, he was with his disciples and he said, okay, I've come to accomplish my mission. That was to show you guys how to carry it on out. I'm leaving now. I'm going to go back to the Father. The Holy Spirit is going to come in my place and he's going to fill you and give you the power to be my witnesses to the rest of the world. And I want you to go and to teach others the things I've taught you. Baptize them in my name and make disciples so that the church continues to grow. And he says, but one day I am coming back. One day I will come back for you, the bride of Christ. I'm going now to prepare a place for you and a place called heaven. And if you believe in me and follow me, Jesus said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And God is going to come back one day. The Bible says this, two men will be standing in a field. One will be taken. One will be left standing still. Two women will be working at a wheel. One will be taken. Another will be left standing still. That's weird. Weird stuff. How many of you have heard or seen or read the Left Behind stories? Yeah, those became real popular through the 90s. The idea that Christian pilots might be flying a plane and all of a sudden the pilots are gone. Dude, that's pretty scary. No one knows exactly how it's going to happen. Have you seen that bumper sticker ever that says, in case of rapture, this card will be unmanned? That's just weird stuff also, okay? Who knows the way it's going to happen? But the truth is, the Bible says that first the dead in Christ, those who have already died and are in the grave, when we die on this earth, our bodies go into the grave. Some people are cremated, but our physical bodies are destroyed. But we have a spirit inside. And if we are a believer in Christ, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with God. And so at the moment of death, if you are a believer, if you are part of the children of God, then your spirit goes to be with God. If you are here, though, and alive, one day God may come and Jesus may come back, and the Bible says that we will meet him in the air. That verse used to scare me to death, especially at dentist appointments. I know it sounds weird, but here's the deal. I would be sitting as a child in the dentist chair, and I had to go often. I have a lot of metal in my mouth. But I would be sitting there in the dentist chair, and the dentist would be drilling, and I'd be praying, God, please don't come back now, because I did not want that drill to have to go through my body as I went up. I know it's morbid, but you got to be careful how you teach young children and the kind of thoughts they may come up with. And then I thought, how? That's going to hurt if I hit that ceiling on the way up. Just weird stuff like that. But the Bible tells us in some mysterious way, faster than the twinkling of an eye, we will meet God in the sky and we will be with him for the rest of eternity. And there's a lot of stuff I left out there. But here's the key principle. God is one day coming back. The Bible says there will be a new heaven and a new earth created. And here's what we need to be doing because of that. The Bible says that the gospel will be preached to all the nations, and then the end will come. And so our goal is to be sharing the love of Jesus Christ everywhere we can, until all have come to know or had a chance to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we as a church want to be a part of that mission. We want to be sending people to foreign lands. We want to be sending people across the street. We want to be sending people everywhere we can to share the love of God so that people can come to know him and how much they love him. Is Margaret in here? Margaret is going to be going to Moldova in just a couple months, a town or a city real close to Chernobyl. And a lot of children were abandoned because they were born with birth defects because of the radiation there. And she's going to work in one of those orphanages. And so we want to be behind people who feel called to go to places like that and to serve. So we'll be helping Margaret get to fulfill her mission. And some of you, who knows, some of you may be called to go somewhere. Some of you may be called to go to the Pentagon, who knows, and to be a missionary there. So that's what we are about here at Hope Hill Church. That's what we want to encourage you to get plugged into. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a relationship with God, a relationship with one another. Our community groups are a great place. It's hard to get to know each other when you're sitting, looking at the back of somebody's head. And so midweek, we have dinners together. We open up God's Word and study it together. We get out into the community and serve together. And that's where we really get to know each other better. How many of you have made a friend through a community group since you've been a part of this church? That's great, about half of you. I encourage you guys to get involved in our community groups if you really want to consider this a place to grow. So I just threw a lot at you. It was a little weird teaching stuff off of paper. I normally have a lot of fun stories, but I want you to think through those things. Here's why. Next week, we're going to give you an opportunity to basically say, I'm on board with Hope Hill Church. I want to be a part of what God's doing here, and I want to find out my role, my place, and if that's for a season that's short or if it's for a long time, as long as, you know, maybe 3-5 years, maybe longer. We want to invite you to get on board here, to get plugged in, to become a part of making a difference in the lives of those God brings here and those in our community. And so we invite you to pray about that, to pray about the things we believe. Are these things that you want to align yourself with? And if you have questions, let's talk. Let's talk more. We invite you. So over the next few moments, here's what I want to do. I'm going to ask that our worship team comes back up. Are they in here? Some of them? Yes? No? Yes? Our worship team is going to lead us through a time of worship. During this time, we're going to have communion together. It's a great time for you to remember what Christ has done, but it's an even more important time for you to do some self-reflection. God, where am I in my walk with you? Am I even a Christian? Am I even a believer? And if you find that, you know what, I don't know that I've ever really asked you to come into my life to save me, then you can do that today. You can come up and pray with me. You can pray with one of our prayer teams that are going to be on the side over here in a minute. Or you can just sit there in your seat and just call out to God and say, God, I do want to invite you in. I don't understand everything there is to be a Christian, but I open up my life and I ask that you come in and to teach me and to show me. And you don't have to say anything other. There's no magical formula. You just let God know that you want to be his, and the Holy Spirit will come and be with you. And so as we go through this time of worship, I want you to allow God's Holy Spirit to speak to you about whatever is going on spiritually in your life, about the things we've talked about your relationship with him, and just worship him as we bring our time to a close today. And again, if you have prayer, you want to pray with me or others about any of this stuff, we're here. So let's stand together, and I invite you to come as you feel led to the communion table. We'll have communion teams there ready to serve. And let's just really let God speak to us through this time of worship. And you speak with God. Thank you guys for being here. We'll close our service in a few minutes, but let's let God deal with our hearts for now. God, thank you so much for who you are. We pray, God, that you would speak to us now through this responsive time of worship. As we remember your body that was broken for us 2,000 years ago and your blood that was shed, help us to remember that that was accomplished so that we would have a purpose today to live for you, to be forgiven by you, and to go out and to make a difference in this world. So God, I pray that you help us to seek you, to come to know our place. Be with us as we worship you now. In your name we pray. Amen.